I appreciate you being here. It is a privilege to be here, so thank you very much. And Pastor Walters has been a good friend, so I've enjoyed that. Got to enjoy interacting with him at the retreat that I did with some of the business clients I work with, and it's something that my wife and I and my son Dave have administered and helped many different groups. We've done it in business settings, so if you're sitting here saying, well, you know, there's couples, no, this is something for every single person. You are sitting here and you're alive. How many people are alive this morning? Some of you did not raise your hand, okay? That's an interesting thing I got here. But if you're alive, this is something that can help you because it helps every single individual. Dave and I have sat with executive teams and administer this so they can better communicate. We want to learn communication. We want to learn how to interact effectively. How many of you have ever had something happen to hurt a relationship, again, any relationship, you with an employer, employer to employee, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, to a parent, parent to a child, but you've had a communication misunderstanding before. How many of you? Some of you didn't raise your hand. Again, that's a very impressive thing. I don't know quite how you've made that happen because we hear differently. I can say things today to my wife. She hears through a filter. And she will hear something different than what I said. An example, just a few weeks ago. We're getting ready to go on a date. I walked out of my office. She was standing there waiting. I said, wow, you look beautiful. I mean, that's pretty straightforward, correct? I mean, guys, come on, at least have my back a little bit. She argued with me. She goes, no, I know I don't today. I don't really look beautiful. And she starts to get a little bit frustrated with her hair and how it looks that day. Well, I'm not falling into that trap. If I say, yeah, you're right, your hair looks subpar today, that's not going to work. So she kept going, and I said, hold on just a minute. I said, are you arguing with me that I can't think you're beautiful right now? So she kind of smiled. She goes, no. I said, okay, my opinion is that you're beautiful. And you look great today. Why did she hear something different than what I said? Because of what filter it ran through. Now, sometimes those filters are shaped by your childhood. They're shaped by previous relationships. They're shaped by work experiences you've had. Maybe you've had a really tough boss. Maybe you had a really tough mom or dad growing up. And you hear differently because of your past experience. I want you to start understanding that better. So this is a communication tool that we're going to work through the next couple weeks and some of the Wednesday nights. It is something that you can use to improve the quality of all relationships in your life. If you understand you, you can better communicate with other people around you. That's what this is. A few years ago, we were at a son's basketball tournament, and I was studying, she was reading, late at night in a hotel, and this is some of the stuff I was studying at that time. So I looked at her, and I said, can I ask you some questions? And I started asking her questions about me. Am I really like this? Am I really like this? She started laughing so hard that tears were coming down her face. So I'm looking at her, I'm like, okay, so I guess that means it sounds like me. She said, yes. I said, okay, let me put it on you, and ask her questions about her. And it gained understanding for each of us about ourselves and how we communicate. And I want so much to help you learn more about this. Now, as we jump into this, let me clarify. Communication is more than just the words that we speak. Communication is powerful. There is a ratio used for people that I like to use. It's a 7, 38, 55 tool. What that is, 7% of our communication is the words that we use. Now, I find that kind of surprising. Only 7% of the words that we use. Does anyone have a guess what the 38% is? Okay, tone. 38% is our tone. I have been accused a lot of having an assertive or an edge to my tone. Has anyone else in here ever been accused of that before? Few. So have you ever heard this? Well, it's not what you said, it's how. I didn't even finish the statement you guys were saying. You want to come up teach? No, I'm just kidding. How? Tone. 55% body language. It's correct. And we're going to learn as we go through this assessment at the end. Body language is a big deal. Some of you say, well, I didn't say anything inflammatory. Oh, yes, you did. How did they say it? Body language. Have you ever been talking to someone and their body language is almost screaming at you? If you are talking to someone and they go, did they say anything? Oh, yes, they did, right? Body language. Pro tip. If you are a person that is a blunt, direct communicator, as I can be, that say I should be, as I can be, if I am talking to my wife and she is telling me about her experiences of her day, don't do this. If you do that, you may get into trouble without saying a word. Because my body language conveyed something to her, and it didn't make her feel what? Man, there's a lot of different words coming at me there. Right. Loved, heard, respected, valued. We want to make people feel those things. I do. You want to feel that way. We need to learn so we can understand better how we can do it. So we're going to take you on a journey through that for the next couple weeks and some Wednesday nights and understand it. The paper you have there in a few minutes will give you an assessment. Now I'm going to give you a spiritual view of what brought me to this, and then we'll go back into the assessment. So Jesus, Pastor Walter was saying, Arlen was saying, we are learning about the life of Christ right now. Jesus was a good communicator. Jesus learned how to adapt to every situation. Jesus learned how not to respond reactively. Jesus learned how to respond intentionally. We need to understand that. Jesus adapted to each individual that he communicated to. His apostles were all different temperaments, or for this, a color difference. They could be a different personality. And he knew how to interact with them. There is a blunt, outspoken, close apostle of Jesus that Jesus handled differently. Who do you think that might have been? Anybody know? Peter. Jesus handled him differently to say to Peter, hey, get behind me, Satan. Can you imagine Jesus looking at you from a few feet away, eye to eye, and telling you, you're Satan? Would that be hard for any of you to swallow? Peter was like, oh, okay. It rolled off his back. He's different. Now, the Apostle John. I will tell you maybe more about it next week, but John was a personality that drew strength for being around strong people. I think John struggled with his self-worth. I think John struggled with overthinking. And I like to study the individuals. If you want to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and say, I want to learn communication from a master like Jesus and see how he adapted. John actually wrote a challenge that Jesus spoke to those apostles. In John 13, 34, and 35, I know you're familiar with this, but I want you to see it from the angle of communication. He said, I'm going to give you a new commandment. Jesus had a new commandment. He says, love each other as I have loved you. Hey, guys, love each other. Now, when we do this, we need to understand our communication communicates love or lack of love. How we communicate is very powerful. Have any of you ever gone into a place of business and they have communicated to you that you're not important or they don't value you and so you don't want to go back? Anybody? I've had that happen many times. Or conversely, you've gone in a place of business and they've made you feel like you do matter and they do care and you overlook some of their flaws and you want to go back. My wife and I have that same experience. She loves to go into a place of business where they make you feel loved. He mentioned the old dog. There's a girl in there. If she's working, when I go in, I walk in the door and she looks, she goes, do you want your usual? And you may think, do you like that? I love it. Because now I feel like what? An individual to her. And I don't drink coffee. I drink tea. And she knows what I like. It makes me feel valuable because of what she's communicating. We are supposed to do that for all the people in our life circle. This is talking about your life circle at home. It's talking about the people you work with. and that you live around. All of them. One thing I want to make sure I hit on today, this is also how you talk to the person you look at in the mirror, yourself. You are communicating to yourself every day. We have to trust that we value and show love to that person first, and then let that love flow through us to the people. He says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Am I communicating in such a way that is attracting people to get to know the Lord? My personal experience is I work with so many different people now. They come to me for business and leadership help. And as I talk to them, and we will talk about spiritual things, the number one reason most of them have been a little bit hesitant to be close to anything Christian or Christ follower is because of their experience, not with God himself, but with other people who claim to be followers of Christ, and they felt rejected, not loved. What are we communicating with that today? If we refuse to do this, we're missing the point of how Jesus wants us to treat our fellow humans. Because let's be blunt, some people are more difficult than others. My wife would probably say sometimes I'm more difficult. And I could say that about her. After 31 and a half years, it doesn't mean that we never are difficult, but sometimes they're difficult. How many of you know someone who is difficult at times and we're still supposed to show them that love? You don't have to point at somebody. No, I'm just kidding. That can happen as we do it. Now, communication is something that is really ramping up. Now, back when scripture was written, there was a lot of flow of communication. But I think today, it's even bigger. The volume of communication with all the electronic communication. In 2020, I looked this up. You can look it up today. I'm sure it's much higher. But you have 306 billion emails sent. Now, I have to ask. I'm a person that keeps my email, my unread, very clean. I like to kind of know. How many of you are the people that just have 306 billion unread emails in your inbox? I don't know how you live with yourself when you look at that. That would feel insurmountable. I would lay awake at night thinking, how can I wake up tomorrow knowing I have that many unread emails in my inbox? Because I want to get those done. 4.5 trillion text messages. 500 million tweets. 525 million hours of YouTube. Doesn't that just feel overwhelming, the volume of communication? And we're supposed to do this more effectively. It is more challenging than ever to be an effective communicator. And we need to learn some of those steps. But as we communicate, I'll show you two verses in Proverbs that are impactful and such good reminders to me personally. The reason I know them is because I need them. I can be a blunt, direct communicator if I'm not careful. When I'm so blunt and direct, I can hurt people with my communication. Again, 7 words we use. 38, tone. 55%, my body language. We have to watch our communication. Proverbs 18:21 says, a tongue can bring death or life. If we pause just for a second, I want you to think to a time. Could have been a few minutes ago. Could have been when you were 3 or 4 years old. Was there a time when someone communicated with you in such a way, you felt life or energy just come into your body? You could feel it. You could feel that power coming into you, and maybe it felt warm. Maybe it was energy, but just coming into you. How many people can think back to a time when that has happened? You could see it. Man, it's almost like someone just injected you with a B12 shot. You could feel the energy coming. But look at the other side of that coin. How many of you can remember a time when someone communicated to you in such a way, you could almost feel discouragement, that weight come on your shoulders, and that life just leave you, the energy just leave you, and you felt discouraged after that message? I have. And the sad thing for me is, sometimes I've communicated that message where I've taken life, and I don't want to do that. It's something that provokes me, a guilt that says, don't do that again. I want to challenge all of us to start using our communication to bring energy and life to others, not taking it from them. And those who love to talk will reap the consequences. If you want to be around life-giving people with their communication, then we need to be a life-giving person now. Follow that law of sowing and reaping in Galatians 6 and know that is what I need to start doing. And if you're not doing it, I want you to use that to provoke you to start doing it. This is not to give you a guilt trip of what you have done to bring shame. This is to provoke us to change and be better going forward. Another verse in Proverbs I like to use. Some people make cutting remarks, which is sarcasm. Okay, I like sarcasm. My favorite comedians use sarcasm. I find it very funny at times. When I was young, I would use sarcasm, sarcasm, sarcasm. And then I found it was very cutting. I've seen my cutting words take that energy from people. So I had to tone back my cutting remarks. Because they're like being stabbed with a knife. You can feel the pain. You can feel that hurt. You can see the hurt in their face from our what? Our words. But the words of the wise bring healing. I hope that I can be a person, as I do age and I get wiser, that I bring healing. Do you bring healing to the people in your life with your communication? Do you bring that balm that's needed? Do you have people reach out to you when they're hurting? Do you have people reach out to you and say, I don't know what to do? Because your words bring healing. Or are you that cutting individual? One of the most challenging relationships to do this is not just a dating or marriage relationship. It can be a parent to a child because you want them to do well. It can be a boss to an employee because you want to push them and challenge them. But you've got to make sure overall that our words bring healing. Because words have more than content. They're powerful. They shape you. They shape me. They help form an opinion of ourselves, which shapes our decisions and lead us down that path. They are very powerful. To conclude, are those closest to you full of life because of how you use your words? Are you that communicator that's bringing life to all the individuals? When you walk into your workplace, do they think, oh, good? Or do they think, oh, no? I talked to a couple. He was a business owner. And when he would come home, the garage door went up, the wife would leave. Does it sound like that he is bringing life to his home? Another one whose kids went to their rooms as soon as dad came home. Does it sound like he's bringing life to that home? What are you bringing to those individuals around you? You can give someone confidence or feeling of security with just a few words. I guarantee you, someone has given you confidence with their words. Even reading scripture, I can read scripture and feel confidence come into me. And I can have insecurity, which is in all of us, by the way, ramp up because of someone's message to me. What are we communicating to the people in our world that we have? Words have life-giving or life-taking power. Now, as we look at this and we get really in depth with this, a few years ago I saw this study, and this study was talking about the ratio of positive to negative words. But they started with a really interesting perspective. They went in and just said, we're going to see why some businesses make it and some don't. As they started studying, they realized the power of communication in this study. And they said, wow, we're going to put communication in two different categories, positive and negative communication. And as they did this, they would get through all the written communication. They sat in meetings and tried to say positive, negative communication, and they evaluated. Then they had three groups of businesses. They had the failing businesses, the average, the mediocre, just kind of sustaining businesses, and the thriving businesses. Three groups. As they looked at those three groups, they said, wow, let's look at their communication ratio in the failing, the average, and the thriving. And they came up with these ratios for each one. And they realized in the average businesses. Now, this is where they started. I was reading this. I was like eager to kind of get to see, man, what is the average? Because bluntly, I thought the ratio for the average at best was going to be one positive to one negative. I thought it could even be, you know, one positive and three negative. You know, could be, see what's going to be more negative, more positive. But as I read, I got to it. And it said, for again, average business ratio, three positive to one negative. When I read that, my heart sank. Why do you think my heart sank? Because I'm not there. I thought, how am I supposed to do that? I got to help people to grow. I got to help people be better. I got to solve problems. And it was challenging. So as I looked and I got to the failing businesses, it was 1-1. 1-1. I thought, 1-1. I said, man, I was almost scared to keep reading. It was like that horror show, and you should I keep reading, can you keep reading, and then you read it? Because I was so scared, and the answer was the thriving businesses, 5-1. 5-1. Where are you in your communication? Are you at a 5-1? Are you even close to that? I know that I have to work incredibly intentionally to get even close to 5-1. I'll tell you a sideline that I thought was very interesting. A marriage group did this study, and you know they came back with very similar ratios for happy marriages. A family group did this study, and you know they came up with very similar ratios to have a happy family. Do you know what's really interesting? I had a client that I work with in California, and they got this dog that was really trained, and they went to this facility, and this dog was being trained for something, and she called me one night, and I thought, man, what do they need? So they called me. She goes, hey, we're at this facility. Our dog is at this trainer in Oklahoma City, and they were talking about it. She goes, I was so excited. You remember that ratio we talked about? I said, yeah, I remember. She said, do you know what the trainer is telling us to do ongoing to keep this dog on track? I said, what's that? She goes, we have to give a 5-1 ratio. She said, it's the same. I asked him. He goes, it's the same as he trains dogs. This is kind of a universal thing we're supposed to shoot for. Communication. We are supposed to be 5-1 to be our best. Where are you at? Where are you at in your current communication? Most of us, at best, go to a 3-1 ratio. I'll ask, how many of you naturally are those people who can be a 5-1 person? Okay. We had Arlen and one person over here go like this. We have work to do, and I would be the one to have the most work to do. We have to keep working and growing to improve. We want to be effective people. So, next thing we have up there. What is the ratio for your communication this week? But I'm challenging you. If you're saying, well, I can't do it, I've failed. No, this is a new start. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, what I want you to start, if I had a choice, it's not just who you're going to work with tomorrow. I want you to do it. But if I had to pick one person to start with most, it's your positive to negative communication with yourself. As I deal with this more, I see the problem of very negative self-talk. It pushes people's spirits down. It makes us discouraged. It makes us feel inadequate. It ramps up our insecurities. Then we start feeling competition with everyone around us. Then we don't want to give anyone else any praise. Then we won't compliment other people. We become people we don't even like. You know why? Because your self-talk is not even a 1-1. You need to ramp that self-talk up and start to say, I'm going to be a 5-1. Because then you're so full of that love of God. You're so full of that energy. You give it out to people. You start complimenting and noticing those type of things. Where are you in your communication? What can you do before you come back next week? Can you make progress? Man, I don't know if I can get to 5-1. I don't know where you're at. Take a step forward. Take an intentional step. Say, I'm going to just work to be better. You're going to probably go home today and you're going to be doing something and your husband's going to take the trash out and you're going to think, oh, can I do it? Think, think,
thank you for taking the trash out.
It's going to be so hard to do, but you can do it. My wife will manipulate me. She'll know it. She's like, you know, can I see your big muscles? I don't do it for everyone, but I'll do it for you. Whoa, I wonder if those muscles are big enough to take the trash out. I 100% know that she's manipulating me. And do you know what that does to me? Yeah, you can see my muscles. Let me take this trash out. Let me tie a knot in the bag for you. I don't even care. Because we all want positive communication back to us. We can do it. Work and take a step forward. What if we ask those closest to you where you're at in your ratios? Are you a 1-to-1? Are you a 3-to-1? Are you even close to being a 5-to-1? And if you're negative, start noticing the positives. Do you notice the positives about yourself? I work with some very successful people monetarily. Does not mean they're better or worse, but you would think if you looked at them, man, they have it all going on, but I'll look at them in the eye and say, are you successful? You know, if I graded percentages, less than 10% would say yes. Less. Because we all feel inadequate, all of us. So don't think, yeah, but they, no. You can. Treat yourself with respect so you can treat others with respect. Let yourself feel the love of Christ so you can do that for others. Ramp up your positive communication. Does how you, I, currently communicate show others the love of Jesus? Keep in mind, you are one of the others mentioned in John 13, 34, and 35. You, if you're in a dating relationship, your partner, marriage, husband, wife, parent, children, even if they're adult children, employer, employee, all of them. We are supposed to show them the love of Christ and be that type of life-giving person with our communication. Use your 7:38-55 words, tone, body language this week with yourself and with those around you. Now, what we're going to do is we are going to dive into the assessment in just a minute. And I want you guys to understand it. I'll talk through this. Next week, I'm going to give you something from the Apostle Paul where it talks about some filters we need to use for our communication that's very helpful and challenging to me. And we're going to dive into a little bit more of how to understand yourself and anyone else in your life. If you are here this morning and you're like, you know what, I'm single, I don't have any children, awesome. Because you get to better communicate with yourself, and I guarantee you, you do communicate with other people. If you are sitting here and you are the oldest person, the youngest person in the room, all of us can benefit. Let's lean into this tool. Leverage it. If we only had two people even think I'm close to 5-to-1, and I'm not, and this does not give me our participation trophies, I have that too. We all just want to be better. So, Dave, why don't you come up? How many people are excited to take a test? Yes. How many people, right now you're having a flashback and you're getting a cold sweat because you're like, a test, and you're panicking. Is that anybody? How many of you right now, you're going to try to like protect your paper so no one can cheat off of you? You're already getting worried, all right? You don't have to cheat off anybody. This is for you. We want you to take this test. We want you to lean into it. And there's no failing, by the way. How many people like that type of test? Yeah. All right. All of us are going to do well. I want you to be super honest. Don't try to be someone else. Be yourself taking this test. I'll be the color guy. Dave's going to give us the information and the content.
We'll go through.
Oh, do you want this?
On each slide, there's going to be four different statements or qualities. All you have to do is say, which one do I most identify with? But some of these are negative slides. Say, I hate all of those. You did one. Some of these are pretty good. You might say, man, I see all of those in myself. Now, that's fine. You might see all of them. Which one do you most identify with? So you have to be. pick one each time, but you can only pick one each time. Also, no one else needs to grade you, right? If you want to hide your work, that's totally fine. So even if you see somebody else's paper, that's not even close to true. It's all right. Keep it to yourself for now. All right, save it for the car ride.
Does anyone not have a paper? I want to make sure you have one. Everyone have one? You might need one. Okay.
Let's look at the first one. See, on this sheet of paper that you have, all you need to do is check. Is it A, B, C, or D? If you'd like to, instead of checking, put an X or a cross or a flower, that's totally fine. But just mark whichever one you say is you. I'll read through them. If I go too fast, just yell. A, I'm someone who is ready to jump into new tasks. B, agreeable, easy to get along with. C, sensitive to the emotions of others. Or D, excitable, passionate, quick to say yes. Now I'll say, we're in the presence, right, of presenter greatness, right? The slides, there was no hiccups with how fast he was going forward or too slow or anything like that first time around. I say that a little bit to brag on him, mostly just to put pressure on him, see if he can do it again. All right, we'll see. It was great last time.
How many of you are agreeable now?
Naturally. Easy to get along with.
Two of you. Excellent. How many of you are incredibly difficult and you're proud of it? All right, a couple of you. Oh, someone raised someone else's hand there. Excellent. Even better. Sensitive to the emotions of others. High people don't care less. Three of us. Excellent. All right.
By the speed of the hand, it's probably not of the excitable. Not a lot.
That's correct.
All right. Let's go to the next one. A, motivated to achieve goals, eager to be the leader. B, energetic, lively, exhibits love and affection openly. C, logical, gathers facts, data, likes lists. D, flexible, able to adjust to new conditions, calm in the midst of chaos. Whenever you know which one is you, do whatever particular mark. If you want to switch each time, that's fine. All right, whatever mark you're using, go ahead and throw it in that box. We'll go to the next. All right, three. A, avoids conflict and drama, level-headed. B, fun to be around, good storyteller with a sense of humor. So if you're not funny, you can't put that. C, self-motivated, usually right. D, careful, thoughtful, doesn't rush into things.
Whoever
shook their head when he said usually right, I'm with you. The word is always right. How many people are like, well, the first time with thinks they are always right?
Just remember, you can tell them next time, you're never always right, it's usually. Four. A, upbeat, always sees the best in people and situations. B, detail-oriented, orderly, tidy. C, confident and assertive with my opinion. Or D, cooperative, open to the needs and ideas of others. All right, let's go to five. A, determined problem solver, finds a way to get it done. B, playful, spontaneous, lives in the moment. C, considerate, kind, and polite. Or D, serious, avoids being impulsive or flashy. All right, I think we're good. Let's try six. A, friendly, outgoing, talkative. B, efficient and effective with my time and effort. C, relaxed, hard to provoke or annoy. D, precise, thorough, very high standards. Now, if we asked this while you were driving, I'm sure no one would pick C.
How many of you have communicated a negative ratio to the person driving in front of you this week? But they deserve it.
Yes.
Of course.
My wife would say that I'm C, right? Relaxed?
She says no.
Seven. A, like to talk through my decisions out loud with others. B, is decisive. My decisions are usually right. C, wants all the information before I make a decision. Or D, sometimes just wants someone else to make the decision for me.
Some of you are looking very quizzically at these. Just pick the one that's most naturally you. Make a decision?
You're D. Eight. A. Likes knowing a little about a lot of things and a lot about the things that really interest me. B. Likes to stick to the schedule. C. Likes accomplishing things and feeling productive. Or D, likes coming up with creative ideas people will enjoy. All right, let's try nine. In a minute? Okay. We can go back if we need to. A, tends to notice imperfections and mistakes. B, tends to forget or disregard things I'm not interested in. C, tends to not even think of bad or sad things. And D, tends to not show my emotions.
Any men ever dated or married that you would think you've been dating or married someone that was number A, she noticed your imperfection mistakes?
Say number A on purpose there?
Number eight, what'd I say?
Number eight. I was noticing your imperfections.
Thank you. He has to now compliment me, right? Couple kinds. And B, how many of you women could say B? They tend to forget and disregard things they're not interested in. You read that before? You didn't say that. I don't remember that. No, that didn't cross my mind. Remember that? No? I'm the only one. Excellent.
A, frequently tell stories about my personal experiences. B, considers every thought in detail before communicating. Bless you. You don't have to apologize. It's okay. C, cuts to the chase in conversation. I don't need every last detail. D, hesitates to speak up when I disagree with the group. We're at the halfway point, but all the rest of these, I think for the most part, are single word answers. So we'll be moving a little bit quicker, so you have to stay on top of it. Now, first service, they were flying. All right, so you have a high bar to meet. We'll see if we can catch them up. All right, 11. A, easygoing. B, ambitious. C, energetic. Or D, analytical. All right, 12. A, enthusiastic. B, fearless. C, agreeable. Or D, empathetic.
Some of you are really collaborating on these.
All right, 13. A, cautious. B, capable. C, calm. Or D, charming.
How many people believe my wife's nickname for me is D? She just calls me charming all the time. No one? Not even one person?
All right, 14. A, positive. B, organized. C, assertive. Or D, content. 15? A, resourceful. B, considerate. C, lighthearted. Or D, reserved. All right, 16. A, productive. B, patient. C, detail-oriented. Or D, people-oriented. All right, 17. We end really strong here. A, pessimistic. B, bossy. C, indifferent. Or D, easily distracted. You must pick one. We will sit here until everyone has something to say. If you get stuck, we're going to ask your significant other to pick for you.
Sure, they'll have one. Don't worry, it only goes down from here.
Alright, 18.
It's not that
bad. A, demanding. B, detached. C, naive. Or D, moody.
Men, don't lean over and tell your wife, I think you're D every day. Don't do that, alright?
Alright, 19. A, self-centered. B, sluggish. C, scatterbrained. Or D, suspicious.
In terms of
suspicious, go ahead, Pookie.
In terms of suspicious, like, someone else is suspicious or you suspicious?
I think I know what color you are already. One question. You're overthinking, you're suspicious, I know what color you are. All right.
All right, 20. Bringing it home. A, undisciplined.
Yeah.
B, unmotivated. D, unsympathetic, or D, unforgiving.
We end on the highest note possible. You can't circle all four.
All right. Does anybody need us to check a slide? Go, you missed one, you need to go back and get an answer.
Which one?
4, 14. 3, 4, 14. Which one?
Which
20?
One? So this is number 4. 3, okay, 4. Are we good with 4?
Good.
Okay, 3. I don't know who had 3. Are we good with 3 now? Okay. 14, I think, was the next one. 14.
Yeah, look how fast he's navigating between these.
Yeah, that's. Hey, let's see how quick, see if we mess them up. All right. We're good at 14? What's another one?
20. I think
you said 20?
The last one?
20.
Okay.
17. Yeah, keep them hopping. Let's go.
So just a minute, if you have all of them, if you missed another one, please go ahead and say so. Over here on the right, so you have 4 columns, red, green, yellow, and blue. In just a minute, you're going to see the same slides, except this time each answer is going to be highlighted with either red, green, yellow, or blue. So if your answer, whatever color that is, give yourself a check or a cross or a flower or whatever, right in that column. And then at the end, we're going to total up and see how many of each that you have. If you have any questions, once again, yell at me, but I think you'll see it. You'll get it once you see it. We good on all the answers? All right, let's take a look at that first answer slide there. So, for one, if you said A, that one is red. B, give yourself a point for green. He said C, that's a point for blue. Yellow, could be a flower, probably more for yellow, is going to be D. All right, don't worry. A is not always red or anything like that. It really tees up. No cheating. Okay, two. A was red, B was yellow, C was blue, and D was green. All right, three. And if I go too fast, somebody yell at me. A is green, B is yellow, C is red, and D is blue. Four. A is yellow, B is blue, C is red, D is green. Pattern. Is that what?
What?
You find the same colors?
Yes.
Yeah. Nice, nice. I think we're on, we just did four, I think, so five. A is red, B is yellow, C is green, D is blue. Five for five. Sounds like it. Six. A is yellow, B is red, C is green, D is blue. Seven. A is yellow, B is red, C is blue, D is green. Eight. A is green, B is blue, C is red, D is yellow. All right, nine. A is blue, B is green, C is yellow, D is red. 10. A is yellow, B is blue, C is red, and D is green. Anybody else noting patterns at this point? You may or may not, I'm just curious, okay? A few. 11. A is green, B is red, C is yellow, and D is blue. 12. A is yellow, B is red, C is green, and D is blue. 13. A is blue, B is red, C is green, D is yellow. 14. A is yellow, B is blue, C is red, D is green. 15. A is red, B is green, C is yellow, and D is blue. 16. A is red, B is green, C is blue, D is yellow. 17. A is blue, B is red, C is green, D is yellow. 18. A is red, B is green, C is yellow, and D is blue. 19. A is red, B is green, C is yellow, and D is blue. 20. A is yellow, B is green, C is red, and D is blue. Did you get those? Anybody miss them? Do we need to go back to any of the slides?
19.
6, 19, and 7. There is 6.
So 6, 7, 11, 12, 13, and I think there's one more somewhere. 3. 19. Yeah, we're putting you to the test.
Are we done with seven?
Number two. Okay, so I know we have two, we have three. Here's two. Number two. Okay, three. Somebody over here, I think.
We go with three?
Good on three. Okay, did we already do six? We already did six, seven, 11, 12, and 13.
There's 11. You good with 11? Okay, 12.
We're doing this if you already have all your answers. Go ahead and just total them up.
Good with 12. 13. 13.
Totals.
Okay. Another one? 19.
19 is one of them. 19. 16, I heard.
16. There's 16.
Any others? There's 16. 10.
Are you just making this up? They're just kind of making it up for you now, Anthony.
22.
All right. Are we good? That's the only way you can fail. That's the only way you can fail if you get five. No, I'm just kidding. You found a way to achieve that. As we talk more next week, if you are someone who's very, very close, we will try to shed light. And as mentioned, we are going to try to do some Wednesday night more in depth. So we'll bring clarity to all of this. The whole point of this is for you to understand yourself and so you can better communicate with others. Because we all do hear differently because of our filters. Filters are created by our personalities, temperaments, and our past baggage. So we want to equip you. This is a tool to use. So there is not a better color. I know we joke about it because we all think ours is best. I am a very dominant red. Last time I took this, I was 19 red. And that just means I'm almost perfection, which is 20. No. As we're looking at red, so I have things that are strengths, but also have things to work on. That's why the assessment is here. He is a close red-blue, but is more blue. My wife is a blue. So we get to interact with them and see. And I have my kids are all different, so we try to do this. We want you to understand each other so we can communicate effectively. That's kind of our goal here. So again, next week we're going to look at Apostle Paul passage, and we're going to go into some of this so you understand yourself and others.
Can you take a picture maybe of your totals? If you want to bring the sheet back, that's totally fine. But in the off chance you might lose it, just try and bring those numbers back next week. We'll talk more about that. I think we're even going to have name tags for whichever one. It'll be red, blue, yellow, or green. So that way everyone can know exactly how to read you and how to push the light buttons.
It'll be excellent. We look forward to discovery next week.